Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. Thanks very much for downloading us. Hopefully the 50,000 or so of you who download us every week can't be wrong. Today is a great interviewee, Aaron Spitz. He's the leading expert in male sexual health and fertility, who's an assistant clinical professor at UC Irvine's Department of Urology for the last 15 years. He's director of male reproductive and sexual medicine at the Orange County Urologic Associates and serves as the lead delegate representing all of America's urologists to the American Medical Association. And he served as president of the California Urologic Association. You may recognize his name as he's appeared on both Dr. Phil and that horrible show called The Doctors. I only say it's horrible, Aaron, as a joke, because obviously I'm part of the Dr. Oz show. Aaron is a real expert on everything urologic, and he wrote a book with the wonderful title, The Penis Book, with a eggplant on the cover. Dr. Spitz, thanks very much for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Any chance I can get to uncover the penis, I'm right up that alley.
And the book goes through a lot of information that is medical and explains it with enviable lucidity. That is, he talks about the nervous system in innervation and how the nervous system and how your mind works to control. He talks about circumcision. He talks about how your erectile function works, gets to talk about different pills. Now, we hear a lot about pills on the radio ads all times of day and night. Do these have any credibility? Are the supplements as effective? For example, one of the questions we got when we tweeted that you were going to be on, they said, are the supplements sold over-the-counter and in GNC and other stores as good as Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis?
Right. So, you know, that is a great question that I get all the time, too, from my own patients. I have patients coming in with cutout ads from magazines or newspapers or from flyers that they picked up at their local supplement store, asking, well, what about this? And oftentimes, these are guys who have already treated with prescription medications like Viagra or Cialis. And the very short, simple answer is there are no supplements over-the-counter that are as effective as the prescription medications, Viagra, Cialis, Stendra, Levitra, Staxin. These prescription drugs, and also now more recently available, the generic for Viagra, Sildenafil, all work similarly to each other, but all are significantly more effective than natural ingredients you'll find in over-the-counter supplements. The problem, though, is that many of these supplements that are marketed as being as good as or better than the prescription drugs are actually spiked with prescription drugs. And sometimes what they are spiked with are counterfeit, and sometimes those counterfeit products are made in very unsterile and often contaminated environments, such as bathtubs or cement mixers in other countries with no regulatory oversight. So some of the listeners out there may well be experiencing excellent results from a over-the-counter or mail-order supplement, but be aware that that is probably because it is spiked with the real thing, and it may not be a safe version of the real thing.
So that's why they keep being able to sell them. It's they are spiked with illegal ingredients or with ingredients that may be the same, if you will, chemical composition, except they may or may not be made in a safe fashion.
That's right. Now, these ingredients, Viagra, Cialis, these are by and large very safe medications that we prescribe. However, the danger will come for the individual who takes them, for whom these prescriptions are not safe, and that's an individual who takes nitroglycerin for a heart condition. If you combine nitroglycerin with one of the prescriptions, you can have a sudden drop in the blood pressure across the arteries of your heart, and you can have a heart attack and sudden death. Now, people will turn to these natural remedies when their doctors tell them, look, you're not a good candidate because you're on nitroglycerin. And then they may take one of these natural remedies thinking, well, this ought to be safe. And people have this notion that if it's natural, it's safe. If it's natural, it doesn't have side effects, and may find themselves in a very dangerous situation.
And now, what about foods? We're told watermelon might be good for erectile function or leafy green vegetables. What's the data on what should one be eating for erectile function?
Well,
let me tell you before we go into that, just so our audience knows, the reason I'm asking this question to Aaron Spitz, S-P-I-T-Z, and the website is aaronspitz.com, is because in this book, The Penis Book, that information is provided in beautiful form. And so I'm pretending that I haven't read it in order for him to answer the question for you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you serving up these really important key points of the book. So the key to eating for your penis is really eating for your heart. The penis is basically a lens into your circulatory system because, quite frankly, it's just a bunch of tiny blood vessels that fill up that little guy down there. And when those blood vessels engorge, when they fill up with blood and expand, that's what gives you an erection. And if you want to improve your erections, you want to improve your blood vessel health. And the key ingredient that we've come to understand that we can get from foods is called nitric oxide, also known chemically as NO. Kind of easy to remember. Just say NO. Just say no. But in this case, say yes to NO, to nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is the key behind the prescription medication. Viagra and Cialis, they all work by boosting the nitric oxide, or the NO, that's present in the blood. And this key molecule allows the blood vessels to open up and allow more blood to flow through them. It also keeps those blood vessels younger. And it's not just important for your penis, it's important for your heart, for your brain, all the parts of your body that you like, because all the parts of your body are being perfused by your blood vessels and need that NO. And so the key vegetables and fruits and grains that you want to focus on are pretty much all of them, because NO is present across the spectrum of produce. If you go to the produce section, that's where you're going to find the NO. Now, some vegetables have more than others, but, you know, it starts to get overwhelming to try to pick and choose a particular vegetable for a particular nutrient. Feel good about the fact that if you load up your plate with a nice variety of vegetables and some fruits, you're going to be on target. Now, if you really want to drill down, yeah, the green leafy vegetables are going to have the highest concentration of NO, of nitric acid, and so is beets, for that matter, and whole grains are good. A lot of people default to potatoes as their main vegetable, or ketchup and potatoes. There's not much NO in those vegetables. But on the other hand, let's not make it too difficult to shop and to eat. Try to get a large variety. In addition to NO, there are thousands of other chemicals that we're only beginning to understand called phytonutrients. And they are present in different degrees and by different names in the various vegetables. And you want to get a large variety of them, because what we understand is that they do good. They do good in certain combinations alone. And the more you can grab more of them, the better it's going to be for your circulatory health and therefore for your penis. When you're standing in the grocery store, head to the produce section. And when you're standing in the produce section, imagine you're standing in front of a giant medicine cabinet. And the great thing is all those different medications don't have any bad side effects, but they all help your blood flow.
More with Dr. Michael Roizen coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Yes, I'm not kidding. This is really cool. Health IQ can save you up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Now, you have to qualify by taking a Health IQ quiz or other lifestyle quizzes like the Cycling IQ or Running IQ quiz. And you can also get additional savings by submitting actual data such as race results from a 5K that you've run. And Health IQ doesn't just take this info and pass it on to an insurer. They are with you every step of the way, from interest to application through underwriting to the final policy enforcement. It's pretty cool. Now, by being healthy, you not only live a better life, but now you can also pay less for your life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/ownersmanual or mention the promo code ownersmanual when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Once again, check it out at healthiq.com/ownersmanual. Now back to Dr. Michael Roizen.
Now, what about the, just so you, there are foods that are bad for you as well, and obviously fruits and vegetables are good for you, and the leafy greens are even better, and you mentioned beets. We're hearing a lot about beet juice.
That's right. Beet juice is a very good source of nitric oxide, and nitric oxide, by increasing blood flow, increases your cardiovascular health, and athletes are using it to boost their athletic performance, consuming beet juice soon before a workout or before an event.
What foods are really bad? If you said these are the foods you should, if you have a problem, what should you do? What's the worst thing you can do?
Well, you know, the bad players are ones that we keep hearing about, but a lot of us never think about them in terms of our penis. We think about them in terms of our heart. We think about them in terms of maybe cancer, diabetes, but again, the penis is a reflection of our overall health. And so the bad actors are going to be, one, processed sugar. Processed sugar, turns out, is a major cause of blood vessel disease. We used to blame it all on fats. Now we realize that processed sugar is as bad or worse. It also feeds cancers in some situations, we're beginning to understand. The next is a lot of added fats. We've come to understand that maybe fats aren't as dangerous as we thought, but there's no disputing that when you have a lot of fat in your diet, and whether it's animal fat or vegetable fat, it slows down the flow of blood through your blood vessels. Your blood flow actually becomes sluggish. It's a temporary effect, but it lasts for about 4 to 8 hours. And guess what we tend to do about every 8 hours is eat another meal. And so we can be chronically blunting our blood flow with a lot of added oils, vegetable or animal. And then actually, an ingredient or a nutrient that most people thought was just, you know, the holy grail of nutrition, and that's protein. Believe it or not, animal protein, what we always thought of as the highest grade nutrient of all, you know, what rich people get to have, what rich countries get to have, what we need to try to get more of, is actually a culprit. And the levels of animal protein that we're consuming is way too high, and it also is causing deterioration in our blood vessels, in our erections, and in our cardiovascular system. And it also contributes to higher rates of cancer. And it's been interesting to find, as I did the research for my book, and also what I learned long before I wrote the book, is that if you look at large populations of people who consume low amounts of animal products or no animal products, these would be vegetarians and vegans, or people that are omnivores but eat as many vegetables as vegetarians, their incidence of heart disease is lower, as well as their incidence of many cancers.
The next question we got from a listener is, how accurate are the testosterone readings you get? So my doc said, I've got low testosterone, and suggested I go on some gel cream. How accurate is that? I feel fine and my muscles look okay.
So testosterone is a very tricky kind of a diagnosis and treatment to get your head around, because normal testosterone can be across a really wide range of numbers, unlike, say, normal calcium or normal sodium in somebody's blood, where the range is quite narrow. Normal testosterone can be anywhere from the high 200s to close to 1,000. But one number that's normal for one man may be a little low for another. And so where we start to get a little bit confused is, what if our number is in the lower end of that range, or maybe even a little bit below the lower end of the range, but we feel just fine and we feel like we have normal strength? Well, it may turn out that that person, in fact, does not need testosterone. One way of trying to answer that question more precisely would be to check what percentage of his testosterone is bound up on blood proteins that don't let it do its thing. And if a person actually has lower than typical blood protein concentrations of a particular protein called sex hormone binding globulin, then that lower total amount of testosterone is more free to do its thing and actually may be acting at a normal level of activity in that guy's body. Another way to check in is to check a bone density scan. If your bone density scan shows that you've got osteopenia, low levels of calcium in your bone, or osteoporosis, you know, very low levels, and your testosterone is low, even though you feel good, you probably should pay attention to that and get it treated. But testosterone can fluctuate from one reading to another. So it may be that at the time a person's blood level was taken, it was low, but that was just because it was taken in the afternoon and the T levels tend to surge more in the morning. So getting at least two readings to verify that a level is low is a good idea, sometimes three, when the two levels are so very different in some cases. Also, there can be some temporary suppression of testosterone from extreme physical stress or an illness. And testosterone treatment is typically a lifelong commitment, so it's important to really get it right before entering into the treatment. But, you know, for guys who need it, it is a lifesaver and a life changer. It does increase one's lifespan if they treat it versus if they don't and they need it. It restores erections or helps with erections along with the medications. It improves the cardiovascular system. And although there's been some controversy that testosterone may be dangerous to the heart, I'll tell you the vast majority of very good scientific studies show that testosterone is the opposite. It's probably good for the heart and at worst neutral.
And part of that reason, and there, I'm going to put in two of my biases, estrogen and progestin, as well as testosterone, their major risk is, in fact, clotting or increased clots. And they both increase production, or they all three increase production of fibrinogen and the precursors of clotting and clotting factors in your liver, so that I really believe most people who take hormone therapy should be on at least a baby aspirin a day. Is that, do you feel like that, or is that, do you have a different opinion on that, Dr. Spitz?
Yeah, I don't feel as nervous. That's not really the right word, but I'm not as concerned about the clotting risk for men taking testosterone. I think their clotting risk is much higher with estrogen, for sure. And we observed that when we used to treat men with prostate cancer with estrogen to counteract their advanced prostate cancer. But I don't encounter many men who are developing clotting issues subsequent to going on testosterone. And although clotting is a known risk of testosterone supplementation, it's at quite a low level as far as absolute incidence. But, you know, taking a daily aspirin is good for you in so many ways, I would say, why not?
And the other thing that was interesting in the background of my training is I learned that one of the signs of low testosterone that really showed you whether it was functionally low or not was whether a man had to shave every day or not. Is that still around? That was from several old studies in the 60s, which may predate.
Yeah, honestly, that has never been a part of my training as I entered urology back in the mid-90s. So no. And I would also probably point out that at least in my patient population here in California, where we have quite a melting pot of ethnicities, you know, facial hair can really vary from one ethnic group to another, and it's, you know, how full a beard a man can grow or how frequently he might shave. So it probably becomes a difficult metric to apply across the board.
Got you. We're talking with Dr. Aaron Spitz, S-P-I-T-Z. AaronSpitz.com is the website. The book is The Penis Book, A Doctor's Complete Guide to the Penis, From Size to Function and Everything in Between. How much, the other question that we had was an interesting one, was it said how much of infertility or how much of erectile dysfunction is psychological versus how much is due to obesity, how much is due to lack of testosterone or, if you will, the feeling you're fat?
Yeah, so we used to ascribe erectile dysfunction to psychological causes way more when we didn't have a good treatment for it. And now that we have very good treatments for erectile dysfunction, you know, such as the pills or other remedies as well, we are not so dismissive. And it really turns out that the great majority of people with erectile dysfunction have erectile dysfunction more for physical causes than for psychological causes. Now, a good way to kind of draw that line roughly is to ask, okay, well, how old is this person? We know that by age 50, over half of guys are having some degree of erectile dysfunction that is physically based. So, you know, if you're in that age category over 50, more than likely this is physical. And obesity, being overweight, having clogged blood vessels from elevated cholesterol, these are clear causes of erectile dysfunction that are not psychological. The arteries to the penis at their best are about a millimeter in diameter. They're some of the smaller arteries in our body, much smaller than the blood vessels pumping blood into our heart, our coronary arteries, or the blood vessels pumping blood up to our brain, our carotid arteries. So as we start to age and as our blood vessels deteriorate because of obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, all three of which often go hand in hand, those already small arteries are going to go first, and we're going to notice problems with our erection years before we may notice chest pain or a stroke. And so, yes, for sure, those issues of overweight and obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, all are real physical causes of erectile dysfunction, and erectile dysfunction is much more often caused by those things than psychological.
The next question, I guess we're going to run out of time, so I want to say the best way of getting your questions answered is getting The Penis Book. It's a really excellent and complete guide to everything a guy or even a doc wants to know. It's got great reference books lists in the back. The Penis Book by Aaron Spitz. AaronSpitz.com is the way to find it. A Doctor's Complete Guide to the Penis, From Size to Function and Everything in Between. What's the weirdest thing you've ever wanted to know about the penis but afraid to ask? Everything is in this book, and you'll find it. It's a great, wonderful resource for whatever you want to find out. Maybe we should give it to every doc, too, Aaron. Thanks very much for being on the show. I hope that you, if you are listening to this, appreciate the depth of knowledge that Dr. Spitz has in the subject. And although it's got a funny title, The Penis Book, it's a really serious and excellent book. And maybe you'll have to cover it with a brown paper bag, but I doubt it. It's a great book. Thanks very much for being on the show. Remember, rate us, download us every week, tell your friends about us. You, the Owner's Manual Podcast, this is number 881B, 881A, of course. The A segments are always the top news of the week, but much more importantly than just the medical news, it's what it means to you so that you can live at the top of your curve till very near the end. Ben, thanks for wonderful engineering. You can always send us questions or ideas for guests at ageprooflife@gmail.com, ageprooflife@gmail.com, or go to the website ageproof.life. It's not a .com, it's a .life, ageproof.life. Thanks again for listening, and Dr. Spitz, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you.